on this day of celebration, the resistance against capitalism and modernity, the struggle of indigenous people around the continent and the world is something that must be acknowledged and remembered. The resistance of indigenous people, Native Americans, First Nation people, or whatever name the European settlers have given to the hosts of this mythical land, which extends from the Arctic Sea to Cape Horn, from Eskimo people to the exterminated Patagones in Tierra del Fuego, has been for more than five centuries an ongoing and many times a bloody confrontation. Christopher Columbus, upon arrival, was greeted with amazement by the native inhabitants of the Caribbean. They opened their doors to the distinguished visitors, giving them presents and a warm welcome. The civilized Europeans, nonetheless, did not look at their eyes nor shake their hands. Instead, they paid attention to their necklaces, earrings, and religious figures crafted in silver and gold. In less than 50 years after the arrival of Columbus, two-thirds of the population were killed by Spanish hands, by rape, slavery, illness, forced labor, or discretionary punishment. But the most devastating source of death was the exploitation of natural resources like silver in Potosí, Bolivia, gold in Ouro Preto, Brazil, sugar plantation at the northeast of Brazil and Cuba, rubber in Manaus, Brazil, cacao in Venezuela and Brazil, cotton in Mexico and Brazil, coffee in Central America, Colombia, Haiti and Brazil, etc., etc. In 100 years, it is estimated that a population of 60 million was reduced to 3 million. This was the first achievement of early modernity in the new world, the successful exportation of death. After taking over the island of the Caribbean, they advanced to Mexico and Central America, later Northern South America, wiping out dozens of smaller tribes, and finally in Peru, defeating the Incas empire in the most treacherous way. They asked Inca Atahualpa to fill two rooms, one with gold and one with silver, for Francisco Pizarro, in order to save the Inca's life. They fulfilled Pizarro's order, and once they did it, the captain strangulated the last Inca in cold blood. Diego de Almagro went further south. He wanted to find Finisterra, the end of the world. He crossed a 1,000-mile desert, and finally, after many troop casualties, he arrived in 1536 to the Central Valley of Chile. He only stayed for a short period of time and was replaced some years later for Pedro de Valdivia, who founded Santiago in February of 1541. Santiago did not last for long. Michimalongo, the main cacique of the region, burned with his people the city in September of 1541. Since then, and for many years, the Spaniards had to put up with continuous resistance from the Mapuche people. Although the Mapuches drew back, the Spaniards' army was never able to trespass the Biobío River. The Mapuches, during the entire old colonial period, kept their independence in the core of their homeland, the Arauco region. Their resistance was so decisive that the very king started making direct pacts with them. The Europeans began trading with them and looking for other modes of penetration and domination, like religion, instead of direct confrontation. This situation was kept until 1883, when Mapuches were defeated by the Chilean army. The nation-state took over their land for the first time in known history. After a four-year war, they were cornered when the army spread smallpox among them. When they were sick or dead, the soldiers entered Villarrica, their last free village. Last month, Adolfo Millabour Nyankwill came to the University of Oregon to tell their story and to find support from Native Americans and grassroots organizations. This man has been the only Mapuche mayor in Chile since 1996. This year, two new Mapuche mayors have been elected in the Arauco region. Adolfo Millabour is not an ordinary leader, nor he is a bureaucrat. Quite the contrary. His ideas of public and legal authority are rooted in the belief of being a facilitator to the struggle of his people, also as a metaphor of all people's struggles. He is doing what he can from his position, but he is not interested to tell the communities what to do or even become the Mapuche leader. He understands that the existence of many leaders and activists are safer in many ways and for many reasons than having just one. One, two, or ten can be easily eliminated, but if they manage to be countless, the state have to kill them all to stop the struggle. He believes that every Mapuche should be an activist in every circumstance, everywhere, in every way, as a part of dealing with daily life. Activists should bloom like dandelions, so not even a fire, nor even a column of military transport would be able to crush them. Millabour thinks that activism is not just to talk about how lousy the world has been transformed by greed and indifference, or when fighting, turning their back to their closer reality. Instead, activists should act today with the spirit of honest human beings, members of a healthier society, with high regard for concrete life and real links with all our relations. These values, I believe, are more important today than ever. In a postmodern world where truth supposedly does not exist, every single and simple act should carry the blueprint of a better, more committed, and responsible human action, responsibility and commitment with life in its very best. Once a month, old people and mothers gather in downtown Tirúa, Millabour's town, to receive a $5 pension per child from the government. The day before he had to fly to the U.S., undercover police dressed like street vendors tried to arrest a man in the crowd. They made a big mistake identifying the wrong guy. The man tried to escape, and because the state agents were not wearing police clothing, the crowd mistook them for criminals. I won't make any comments on this respect. And defending themselves, counterattacking them. The result was four Mapuches shot, several policemen with broken bones, and the police vehicles torn apart. The situation in Tirúa is current and has been pretty volatile lately. The state cannot give a comprehensive solution to their demands because, in fact, indigenous people don't exist to the state as such. The Chilean constitution considers them Chileans, so if they want to remain themselves, they must get away from the power of the state. It is a pretty edgy situation. During his recent visit, someone in the audience asked Adolfo Millabour the relationship between the indigenous movement and the anarchist movement. His answer was, well, we don't support anarchism. Actually, I believe Mapuches were all born anarchists. Another main indigenous uprising is in Chiapas. This fight is also reaching new levels of complexity. The last news we have heard after the new declaration of war from the Zapatistas is the project of building two ports on each side of the Yucatan Isthmus, creating a new version of the Panama Canal. This time the NAFTA ideologists want to build an ultra-modern, high-speed railway line and also a freeway for the traffic of heavy-loaded trucks, cutting the jungle in the middle. To move goods from the Caribbean to the Pacific and vice versa. The solution for the Mayans of Chiapas and the surrounding is the erection of maquiladoras, along the superhighway to fix traditional indigenous backwardness and atavistic love for poverty. Another interesting thing about Chiapas nowadays is that they have found oil in the area. The 500-year struggle of the original population of this continent have not finished at all. In fact, it seems to be the sign of the times that a new alliance between the countryside and the city is taking place. There are many movements in the so-called First World that are fed up with the nonsense of liberal politics. The lack of vision about the world and fellow human beings is pushing the blue planet head-on in a collision course with a Frankenstein-like future. The intrinsic dynamic of capitalism requires never-ending growth, never-ending sources of energy, never-ending new markets. This would sound funny to even a 7-year-old kid. How come an infinite mouth could be satisfied with a finite and diminishing warehouse? You tell me. The alliance between indigenous people and anarchism is something that the psychologists, sociologists, and political scientists of the CIA are very concerned about. According to one of their latest reports, they believe that until 2015, this will be the major threat nation states will have to face. I hope the CIA is correct in its prediction, and I also hope that they won't be able to stop us. Thank you very much. Thank you.